one of the things we noticed in common with most of these stories is that they remember the journey. You know, the idea of leaving home and heading to Dublin, you know, people didn't travel that much then. I mean, they might travel into the local mart, or even people in Dublin, they mightn't travel from one side of the city to the other. You know, they very often stay in their own locality, their own neighbourhood. So this idea of getting up and getting moving. But it wasn't so much a being told you have to go. There was something attracted people there. I mean, even the stories of how people got there. You know, we have stories of people walking from one end of the country to Dublin. You have people who followed the canals that led them. You know, they wouldn't have known the way to Dublin. There weren't maps. So they were really dependent on the public transport as it was. If you could get a train, you're practically laughing. You know, and great efforts were made to provide, I suppose, transport for people by train. But the numbers of people who came on bicycles and came on horse and cart, and just they wanted to be in Dublin for this event, you know, and perhaps it's not that they wanted to be in Dublin. They wanted to be at this event, you know. So it wasn't about getting to the city. It was much more about gathering with everybody else in one place around the Eucharist, which is extraordinary.
From my own reading of what happened, it sounds a bit like that. The whole country nearly mobilised themselves and just came out in their hundreds of thousands and were all there. That's going to be a bit changed now, isn't it, for this year's Eucharistic Congress, or is it? Will there still be that same sort of interest?
There certainly is a level of interest around the country. There's no question about that. I suppose for this time round, we're looking at an Ireland that's quite different. You know, we're far more demands on our time, I suppose, than there was there. So people kind of have to choose. The timing, too, is these are not dates we would have chosen, I suppose you could say, because they're the week of the Leaving Cert exams are still on. The colleges have closed, so many of our students will have gone touring or working or studying for whatever's coming next and so on. So people aren't as available as we'd like. That said, the level of interest around the country, I mean, it just would lift your heart when you hear people tell their story of, you know, we've organised our bus, or we're taking advantage of special trains being put on by Éireann Rod Éireann, or we're planning, or you know, we're really concerned about where we're going to park, etc. And people are making their plans, you know. But it is very much, you know, you choose to come to this sort of thing. You don't have to come. But it is fascinating to hear people's curious questions, you know, what will be happening and what will we be doing? Because this won't be the same as 1932 in the sense that I don't think there were workshops in 1932. I know there were celebrations of the Eucharist, very definitely. There were all sorts of, there was benediction, very obviously, but there were all sorts of other prayer moments. But we're looking at, I suppose, in this day and age, yes, certainly we will gather to celebrate the Eucharist, and we will most certainly gather for adoration and benediction and other prayer moments. But we're also gathering to deepen our understanding of what all of this means for our lives, and hence the workshops and the opportunity for people. Not about studying, it's about exploring, you know, and we kind of feel that this is an element of this Congress that makes it maybe slightly different to the 1932 Congress.
Mm. That's a very interesting point that you bring up, because I suppose in 1932, people's faith was just assumed. It was just assumed that people were Catholic and they went along to their devotions and their benedictions. But now that assumption, while the people who are going will be Catholic, they will be questioning more what their faith means, what their role is, what their participation is, where it's going. Will you be looking at all those kind of issues? Because those are issues that Catholics are questioning, are wondering about.
Oh, look, this is a great time to be alive in the church. I mean, I don't think ever before, well, obviously never before, did we have a laity as well informed as it is now. You know, I mean, the number of people that you bump into in parishes who have some form of a scripture course done, it might be very introductory, but they'll know who you're talking about when you mention Mark or one of the gospel writers. You know, they know these things. Whereas in 1932, nobody did Bible studies. We didn't even read the Bible. You know, so I mean, we've really moved in terms of faith development, and this Congress will be trying to nourish people's faith, you know, and honouring their, I suppose, accumulated learning over their lifetime. And I mean, it has to be acknowledged. Sometimes, you know, people will say, oh, sure, you know, that wouldn't really appeal to me at all. And you get chatting about issues of faith, and we'll see that workshop. That's what that's going to be looking at. And we'll see the theme of that workshop. That's what they're going to be looking at. And they really are very practical. You know, really, Eucharistic Congresses weren't designed to promote the celebration of the Mass or adoration. Those were taken as givens even when Eucharistic Congresses were starting. What they were designed was to help people look at how I live what I celebrate at Mass. You know, how is it supposed to impact on my life? And to help us do that, we have these workshops, these moments for group, I suppose, reflection and study, where I can look at my life and my experience and bring what I'm hearing into dialogue with that, in the hope that when the Congress is over, I walk away thinking, I learned something. I feel my previous knowledge has been confirmed, you know, that I am a Christian adult, you know, and I am thinking my way through things and I owning my faith. And I think owning our faith is the only space we can work in to be able to pass it on. You know, I can't pass on a book to someone and say, here, read that and there's your faith sorted, you know. Really, the gift of faith is something that's lived and it inspires other people. And I've met many people whose lives have, you kind of say, wow, whatever they've got, I'd love a bit of that. You know, and very often I think Irish people, they do live the Eucharist perhaps without realising it. But my hope is that this gathering will spur us on to a different way of being parish. That involves me, that includes me, that gives me a sense that, you know what, if I don't make my little contribution in the parish, I'm not talking about money, I'm talking about my presence, bringing my, even my opinion, my giftedness to the parish, and the parish is poorer, you know. So I'd love to see us after the Congress with a bit of buzz about us and asking ourselves, what can I do, you know. But I'd like that to be met on the other side in the parish by a welcome on board, what are we going to do together? You know, so there's a bit of work to be done, but I really do think we're on a journey that could take us in that direction. And I look forward to seeing what happens next.